Okay, who remembers when I invited all the people in my family over at the same time without realizing they were all coming? What episode that was in. And remember me talking about existing in two different timelines and not remembering that they actually do intersect. You have one life, not two, Elizabeth. I am coming to you groveling apologies because this quirky little thing that I sometimes do that's not really awesome. It's not awesome at all. I have done with our date, guys. Amanda, Trisha, and I sat and lovingly discussed this event that we're so hopeful for and so excited about for probably 45 minutes, going back and forth. And the whole time, I do not have my son's college graduation on my calendar. And so we scheduled it for that night. So I am going to humbly ask you to forgive me that we are changing the date.
Because we're talking about the live.
I have to go to the live event that we are having, but obviously I have to go to my son's graduation. So they cannot be on the same night.
Yeah, this is for our live event that we're doing in Tampa this summer. So instead of May 4th and 5th, it is April 28th, 29th. Just the weekend before.
Yes. So for anyone who heard the date and marked your calendars, we apologize, but it is now, we do have a for sure date now, for sure date. It's going to be April the 28th, Friday evening. That is going to be the book club, the live book club event here in Tampa. And then we are going to do a couple of more bookish outings the next day on Saturday, April 29th. We're saying approximately scheduled from 10 to 2. So we will be done by Saturday, April 29th at 2 p.m. if you need to make plans to get home.
And if anybody is out there saying, did you learn your lesson? I bought a paper calendar. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do my phone and my paper calendar. I'm gonna be a better person.
Oh, Elizabeth, it is totally okay. I just want to say it is fine. Thank you for, you know, sharing and taking a little bit of the fall there, but it is okay. And we are super looking forward to hopefully seeing as many of you as possible the last weekend in April.
Welcome to Book Fair. We help thoughtful women find wholesome, life-affirming books for themselves and their families.
Are you tired of picking up the latest new release and finding it full of junk you don't want in your life? You are in the right place.
This show shares curated content and we do it together within a fun, book-loving community. So pull up a chair at the table and join the feast.
Hey girls, welcome Book Fair podcast people. Today, we're going to revert back to my goals a little bit, and I wanted to kind of us bounce around the idea of reading outside of our own culture. Is that something you girls have done very much, or do you stick to what looks like you, or... No. Probably not, because I feel like we're all reading older books a lot.
Yeah, I think between reading classics, which, I mean, Jane Austen's culture was not my culture, so, you know, in a sense that is outside, but I think I would say one of my favorite things about reading is reading different perspectives and things from other cultures and a story, when it's a great story, but it also helps me delve deep into another culture, another time and place.
Provide a new understanding.
Yes. A new, you know, empathy and compassion for other people, helping to see their perspective. That is one of my very favorite things about reading.
Yeah. What about you, Amanda?
Yeah. When I was first thinking about this topic, I thought, well, I was only thinking in terms of modern contemporary authors from elsewhere or a story about someone from elsewhere, that kind of thing. And I thought, I really haven't done that much. So on one hand, I'm really looking forward to getting recommendations in that vein today. But the more I thought about, the more I thought, you know, I have read more of that than I was thinking. Kind of started to think about how you said, Trisha, past cultures.
Yeah.
You know, I want to understand more about that as well as other places on the globe today. So I think a lot more counts than I initially was thinking.
I agree. My first initial thoughts was today on somewhere else in the world, but culture is culture. And there's there's where are we in the world, but when are we in the world is also a cultural conversation. So when I was coming up with what I wanted my goals for the year to be, I just kind of was thinking, well, what have I enjoyed? And so there were a couple of books, and not necessarily a long list of them, but that were impactful to me in a, I never thought about what your life looked like kind of a way. And it was so good for me and I enjoyed it and I thought about it for a long time, or maybe books that I will continue to just pop up in my mind because of those eye openers maybe. And so I have a few that I'll maybe pull from for my specific book list this year. But when I was trying to think, well, what would that look like? What did I gain? Why did I like that? I think what you said, Trisha, really is true. I mean, one of my favorite things is when, I mean, I think there's a million reasons to read a book and none of them are wrong, but I enjoy when I can picture myself in a completely different spot. And so sometimes that is like a science fiction or whatever, but sometimes it's a woman my age in a totally different religion, a totally different set of clothes, a totally different family life, you know, that, and just to see, well, what would that look like? What would that feel like? What would my challenges be? How would my decision-making go for that? So I like to experience and learn about a culture from the safety of my couch in a book. You know, it's a safe way to do it. It's going to grow me. So one of the books that I have read in the past and really enjoyed, Peeps into Different Cultures, was Digging to America by Ann Tyler. It is an adoption story, which is kind of a culture of its own, I would say. And I have a lot of friends in my life that are walking stories like that. And so it's a particularly close to my heart book for that reason. But it deals with a generations-long American family and a maybe first-generation American family that are Iranian background, showing up at the airport together to adopt Korean little girls. And so you have this melting pot idea. And also, I feel like this big question in the book is, what does it mean to be an American? And is your culture your DNA? Is it your family of origin? Is it the country you live in? Like, what is your culture? So it asks these questions that I continue to refer back to. And a little quick synopsis, they adopt these girls and they just decide, like, I wonder if we should meet up every year and celebrate Arrival Day together, even though we really have nothing in common besides these two girls. And the unexpected third character that's really important in the book is, aside the two moms, is the Iranian mother-in-law, who brings a different cultural context because she actually grew up in Iran and then moved to America. So she has her original culture. And then she has the idea of, like, I raised children in America wanting to preserve my original culture. So you just have all of these takes on where I was born, who I am today, what do I want to continue forward? Who do I tell my children that they are? And I loved it. I've never read anything else by this author, but it's something that I just continue to think about, like, oh yeah, that makes me think of that book that I read a long time ago.
So I love Ann Tyler. I have read several.
Have you read a lot of her?
I have. I really love her. I think I mentioned her in one other episode, but I have not read this one. So now it makes me want to immediately go out and read it because I really love her writing. She's a really good author.
Sometimes it seems like I want to make this point in this book and the story's just not going to be as good. And she does not do that. These points just are woven in. Like, it's just a story. I remember making a recipe from the book too and like Googling it going, that sounds good. And parenting philosophies of these two families of how we're going to are discussed. So I got a lot of tiny, tiny things out of this one book that was this cultural exploration. And so I would recommend it. I would love it. It was kind of from that I got to thinking about what more would I read. I know in Heart Books I talked about 1,000 Splendid Sons, but I've also read The Kite Runner, and I have on my list to read more of him this year. I think I would really like to read everything he's written, and he's a modern writer, but he is for me a trusted author that can explain to me something that I cannot expect. I can't understand what it's like to live in Afghanistan. And so I think I'm going to read And the Mountains Echoed this year. I have just, he's written several books, but I think I'd like that one to be my next one. And it just, I just did a little bit of looking up into some of his books. And this one is about, the story's built on a relationship between a 10-year-old and 3-year-old siblings and their father's decision to sell the 3-year-old daughter to a family with no children. That's nothing I can understand, you know? That's nothing I can understand.
Yeah.
And he is now for me a trusted author to guide me through that cultural experience. So
I just want to put in, I know one of our touch points on this podcast is we do try to give some heads up on content when we can. And, you know,
there is a lot.
Yeah, you're saying he's a trusted author, and he's an amazing author. I have read both of his other books too. But he also, there is a lot of pretty serious content, whether it's in Kite Runner, there's some violence, even some sexual violence. In 1,000 Splendid Sons, there is domestic abuse.
Yeah.
So there is some pretty heavy, you know, can be triggery things for certain people.
Trigger warning upon trigger warning.
Yeah. So
which is certainly needed to be mentioned. But I would say not for entertainment value.
No.
And some to me that matters is why I'm saying it. Like if it seems like for entertainment value, I don't want to read it. But if it seems like this is a real story that you might need to know about, then I can endure an awful story for that moment of understanding.
Yeah.
And I would put him more in that category.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But you're right.
But if you're sensitive to those things, I would say find a synopsis and look into it before you dive
in. Just to be sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that it's for you.
So what about you girls? What do you think? What's something that you've read and said, I never understood that about those people, and now I'm glad that I can a little?
I adore books in this category. I jotted 3 down. One is The Island of Sea Women by Lisa C. And you two will be happy to remember that we are reading it in book club, in real life book club this year. So we will be reading that together. And it is just one of the best historical fiction books I've read in a long time. It is the story of 2 women who are a part of the Henyang, who are divers, deep sea divers in an island in Korea. So this book starts in the 1920s, and it is very well researched and tells the very real story of 2 women who grew up being these deep sea divers in a matrifocal society. So it's not matriarchal. There are certain things about the lineage that still go through the men, but it's matrifocal. The history behind that is that when the Koreans were being oppressed by the Japanese, they put exorbitant taxes on anything that the male divers pulled out of the sea, which is how they made their living. They're essentially fishermen who dive down to get things from the bottom of the sea with their hands, things that you can't catch with a net, like abalone. And there was a loophole in the law that they would allow the women to dive, because they didn't think that they could do it very well or that they could really make a living.
But it
forced the women to have to learn to do this. And they became the breadwinners, because they were the only ones who were allowed to do it without losing 2/3 of what they harvested. And just the process of becoming one of these cold water deep sea divers, I will never forget some of these scenes. These women have a way of acclimatizing themselves, and it's been scientifically proven that they can survive their bodies being at hypothermic temperatures longer than any other people on the planet.
Whoa.
Like their bodies
are
more attuned to cold weather than like the Eskimos, because they're in these deep sea, they dive in linen in the 1920s and 30s in this cold water. It's fascinating. The whole thing is fascinating. It talks about the culture in the 20s and 30s. Then World War II happens. And it talks about how World War II affected this culture as with Japanese, you know, again, becoming very aggressive in the region. And then what happened to this culture going into modern times. So there's a modern storyline, but most of the story is the history of these two women in this fascinating
culture. That sounds great.
It's amazing. It's such a good book. Number two, we were talking about definitions, like different definitions of another culture. And this book is a book that Close Reads did last year called A Gathering of Old Men by Ernest J. Gaines. And I loved this book. This book, he is a Black author. He wrote in the 80s and 90s. And the story starts in the 1970s on a plantation in the Deep South. And it starts out and you find out a Cajun farmer has been shot by a Black man. And the investigation ensues. But what winds up happening is, because of the circumstances, in order to protect this man, the community comes together and 20 elderly men of the community make their way to this farm and all confess to having shot this man.
Wow.
Wow.
And it goes back and forth from several different perspectives, and you get the voices of these old men and what they have been through in their lives in the Deep South that have led them to this moment where they finally decide to stand up in a way they haven't stood up before.
Yeah.
And I mean, talk about something I could never understand.
Yeah.
It's literary. It's the prose is beautiful. The voices are unique and just vibrant with life and energy. This is just a masterful book that I don't know why more people don't talk about it. It's just really amazing. It's not super long. It's only it's less than 250 pages. So it's concise. It's powerful. It's amazing. Highly recommend A Gathering of Old Men by Ernest J. Gaines. Okay. Number three, Exit West by Mohsin Hamid. Have you guys heard of this one?
No.
It won several awards when it came out three or four years ago. It is one of these interesting books that we've talked about before that has one fantasy or science fiction element. So this book centers on a relationship between two young people, a romantic relationship. But what happens as they're getting to know each other is war comes to their country. And it starts in an unnamed Middle Eastern country. It seemed obvious to me that the author didn't want us to have any specific country in our mind or to pigeonhole it to any specific situation. So he never names what the country is, but it's clearly a Middle Eastern country. And as this war is escalating and people are needing to leave the area to survive, they start hearing rumors about these doors that are opening. And these doors will just instantly take you somewhere else. So basically, this book asks the question, what if getting across borders was instantaneous and unstoppable? So there are two or three doors in their country. One leads to Scotland. One leads to California. One leads to Africa. And they try these doors and essentially experience what it's like when people can't escape their country and just go somewhere else. And what happens when that happens. So it's a totally realistic world aside from these doors. There's no other.
I was like, wait, so hold on, not real. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, a what if.
Yeah. So there's no magic. There's everything else is 100% realistic, but he's asking this question, what if? So it's kind of a realistic premise with a little bit of a fantasy element to ask a lot of really good questions. And it's very well written. It's really well done.
That sounds really interesting. And it's reminding me of a book that I was thinking of for this episode. Like, this would be the nonfiction companion to that one. Prisoners of Geography. Have y'all heard of that? By Tim Marshall. 10 maps that explain everything about the world. Huh. So it's explaining how a country's geography has affected its history, the people's thinking, what choices they have. I haven't read it yet. Yeah, it's been on my TBR for a long time, but it has been recommended by a lot of sources I trust. So I'm really looking forward to reading that.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's a great list, Tricia. So I have kind of a different list. I was trying to organize my thoughts for this one. I don't just have a clear-cut list for this one. But a couple books I specifically want to recommend. Two of these were from our homeschool curriculum, which we've mentioned before, Ambleside Online. But I was thinking about culture. There's lots of different aspects to it that if you do a deep dive on any of it, you can learn more about that culture. For example, architecture. Well, why is there architecture that way? Are these
yes,
the symbolism that's in that from their religion or history, language, anything like that? So these books are kind of in that category. This one's called Material World, A Global Family Portrait by Peter Menzel. And it is really cool because it's really like about homes and stuff. So they have a family. This is really a lot of beautiful big pictures, but it takes families from all over the world and it shows their home. It's a picture of their home, and then they've pulled all of their things out of their home. So you see all the stuff. It's more than that, but that's kind of the premise of this.
I love that so much. I find the daily lives of people in different cultures, past and present,
interesting.
To be fascinating.
And like this one is vaulting into the middle class. It's a family in Mexico. So there's socioeconomic factors in here. There's geography in here. And these pictures are really great. And it's really, like, I got this for my kids' curriculum, but I have spent so much time just looking at these pictures and thinking about these people's lives and what that's like. So in that same vein, this is another book by the same author. Well, the same photographer, Peter Menzel. The author is Faith DeLucio. What the World Eats. That's a big part of culture.
Yeah, it is.
It takes you all over the world, shows you markets, where they get their food, how they cook it, what they eat, and why. I'm showing them pictures from the book, like I'm a kindergarten teacher and holding up a picture book. And like all of you can see it, listeners, I'm sorry you can't see it. But they are really fascinating. So I think if you're looking for a way to get into another culture, that might be a way to do it. Just ask, what aspect of culture are you interested in? And another huge one would be myths, legends, fables, nursery rhymes. And I've recommended certain things in the past through that, like Andrew Lang and the Color Fairy books. He has lots of fairy tales from all over the world. My book house, shout out to Marita. My book house has great literature and excerpts of literature from all over the world. And I think that's a really great inroad because this undergirds a lot of the unconscious thinking in a culture.
Yeah.
It's just part of the zeitgeist. And you can learn a lot about the way people think and where their thinking comes from in that way if you have a little bit of background in that. And I was thinking about, aside from the homeschool angle, when have I picked up books that are about cultures other than mine? And I think a big one is when I have a personal connection. So living in a state now that I didn't grow up in, living in Florida, I became curious about how have people lived in Florida? What are the different groups and what are their histories? Like their Seminole Wars? Mm-hmm. What is that about?
Yeah.
And what's the history of St. Augustine? It's the oldest European settlement. What is that about? And so that's been a big motivator for me. Also, in terms of personal connection, I'm mostly British and Scottish, and I have a little Cherokee too. So there have been times in my life where I've really done a deep dive of Scottish history. How did they think and why? And Cherokee, myths and legends and poems from both of those cultures and their histories. Because I might have that blood in me, but I don't know about those cultures.
Right.
So
yeah.
I had a deep personal connection and longing to know about that at different times in my life. And the last thing I want, well, two other reasons in terms of personal connection. At our congregation, we have people from all over the world and that are first generation immigrants. And I think that's a good way to get to know someone that you love. Like I'm thinking about asking someone, hey, I would love to know a book or books that you love that are from your country that maybe I could get a translation of and just get closer to them in that way.
Yeah, that's what a neat way to say, tell me what are your favorite books? I'd love to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking that through right now, Amanda. I love that idea.
Yeah. And then the third personal connection. No, this is not personal connection. This is a third reason that I have picked up, I guess second reason why I have picked up books from other countries or peoples or times is if they're well-written or classics, just because they're recommended for a literary reason. For example, a modern example for that would be Everything Sad is Untrue. Trisha has recommended it. That is on my TBR for this year, and Close Reads is reading it. So I'm really looking forward to reading that. And also classics like Anna Karenina and stories by Pushkin. I read a short story. I've heard him called the Russian Shakespeare. He has a lot of short stories. And I thought, well, let's start with that. my first foray into Russian literature be a short story. That seems less overwhelming. So I read The Captain's Daughter and it was delightful. It took me a while to get into it because they have all the names. Like each person has 20,000 names.
That is a hard thing. I agree. I have struggled with that.
Yeah.
And that is a cultural difference that they have, is the way that they carry forward names. Like, so we have a hard time not just memorizing the name, but like, who are you? You know, that's different for us.
Yeah. So it's neat to ask, why is that a difference? Why do they do it that way? So I want to throw out just one more book also that I haven't read yet, but Jamie Martin, Give Your Child the World. I have heard wonderful things about that, and that is also on my TBR. And I bet listeners are typing right now a comment in our Facebook page that they have read that. And I would love to hear, all of you that have read that, I would love to hear what you think about it.
Love it.
So, listeners, I would love to know what books you have read from other cultures. Why have you read them? Are there different kinds of books and stories that you have read from other cultures? I would really love, this is an area I really need some good recommendations on personally. So type away. I want to know all about it.
Yes, we can't wait to hear all of your recommendations. You need to help Elizabeth with her goal for the year. And until next time, I'm Trisha.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Elizabeth.
And happy reading.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this, subscribe to Book Fair Podcast.
Join our private Facebook group. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, or email us at chat@bookfairpodcast.com.
And you can help us continue to grow. Share an episode with a friend, mention us on social media, and leave a review in your podcast app. We'll see you next Tuesday.